I despise your killing and raping. You're despicable.
Are you my judge?
It's just, you should be punished. I'm going to chop off your arm. So you ready?
Well, I hope we're ready. We are ready for another episode of Asian Cinema Fusion. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Paul Martinez. Been a little while since I was with you guys. I really do want to get to doing shows quicker. What happened was I was waiting to actually go see a film at the Old School Kung Fu Film Festival here in New York. And I was going to use the film that I viewed for the podcast review. I like to review stuff when I can that I've seen on the big screen. And I was supposed to see Prodigal Boxer, but unfortunately, there was a problem at the theater, and they weren't able to show it. Instead, we saw another film, Pedicab Driver, which I will review instead for our Old School selection. But that's why this show's probably a week to 10 days later than I wanted it to be. But still, some other good stuff to talk about here, and we're going to get right into it. Our opening review of the show today will be The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel entitled Sword of Destiny, out of Hong Kong, of course, in 2016, directed by Yuen Wu Ping, who, of course, the master, he's known for The Drunken Master, Iron Monkey, Wing Chun, some of the greatest action scenes you've seen in a film. You know, in the first Crouching Tiger, he's the one who directed all the fight scenes. He is just a master is the only word you could say. The film is starring Donnie Yen. Yeah, it seems like Donnie's in everything lately, huh? He plays a character by the name of Silent Wolf. We have Michelle Yeoh, who plays Yu Shun-Lin. Of course, Michelle Yeoh was in the first Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She's been in Police Story 3, Super Cop, the James Bond film, Tomorrow Never Dies. If you guys are fans of that tremendous TV show, Strike Back, she was the villain in the final season. She's a tremendous actress. Anything she's in, I'm always happy to see. Also starring Harry Shum Jr., who plays Wai Fang. You might know him from the TV show Glee. And Natasha Liu Bordizzo as Snow Vase. This, as far as I know, was her big film debut. I don't remember ever seeing or hearing of her anywhere before. And I think I tried to look her up and didn't really see anything. So this is pretty much most probably the only thing that you've ever seen her in. And the tagline for this film is, "You can't fight fate." So what's this about? So years after the previous film, Yu Shun-Lin, the character played by Michelle Yeoh, must protect the famous Green Destiny Sword from a murderous warlord. Now, I was very excited to see this. Replacing Chow Yun-Fat with Donnie Yen, I thought would be interesting. There's a lot to like about this film, but the problem is it's following a beloved classic, and this just has trouble living up to that. The action scenes are going to be top-notch because Wu Ping is involved, but it just felt like while there were more fight scenes, it was a little less in quality. One of the best parts of the film were the cast of characters they assembled to guard the sword. It reminded me a lot of the classic Shaw Brothers films with the different characters who all had colorful names and specialties and stuff like that. It gave me a very old school vibe to it, which I really, really liked. The acting was one of the places that felt this might have fallen a little flat. The replacement of the all-star cast with the cast of lesser-known guys was pretty evident. While not bad, they just didn't have me caring about them as much. Donnie going back to the silent, brooding warrior did not work for me. He did that very early in his career. I always felt it was him doing his best Jet Li impression. But I felt that Donnie's going past that. And actually, if you watch Donnie's work over the last, you know, maybe 8-10 years, it's been so much better because he's allowed a lot more of his personality to come through in his character. And you just didn't see that here. It really just felt like this took a step back for him. But the highlight, of course, is Michelle Yeoh, who is always a joy. Although I would like to see her in something outside of her comfort zone, which I did think in the TV show I mentioned, Strike Back, that was a little bit out of her comfort zone. I'd like to see her do more stuff like that. As for the story, standard fare, as I talked about. I mean, you know, they're coming to get the Green Destiny, and here's a band of heroes, you know, coming together to stop them. Although, I did wonder why no one has tried to steal the Green Destiny sword before this. Apparently, everyone knew it was at this place, and no one ever tried to steal it until the guy who led the place where it was being held passes away. So I just felt that was a little weird. Didn't explain why it took so long for anybody to try to go after the sword. Still, the side plot among the younger characters was somewhat interesting, and the tie to the original movie felt only slightly forced. I think, really, when I really think about it, the main condemnation of this film is that it's a sequel to one of the best Wuxia films ever made. Overall, this is a good watch, but you just can't compare it to the original. If you do that, you're going to be disappointed. I gave it a 6 out of 10. Something to watch, beautifully shot. It is, of course, a Netflix original, so that's pretty much the only place you can see it right now. Don't think it's been released on DVD, get Netflix or borrow someone's Netflix password and give it a watch. I mean, it's a fun 2 hours. It's not a bad film at all. Just try not to compare it too much to the original Crouching Tiger. The next film, The Chronicles of Evil, came out in 2015 out of Korea, directed by It was directed by Big Woon Hak. He was the assistant director for Shiri. He also directed this film called Tube, which I didn't see, unfortunately. I did see Shiri. Very good film, and he was the assistant director on that. It's starring Sun Hyun-joo, who plays Choi Cheng-sik. He's a TV actor, mostly known for the television version of The Chaser, which he just looks perfect for. I actually want to see this series now after finding out that there was a series made, I didn't know this, about the great movie The Chaser, and just something about looking at him, he just reminded me so much of the lead character in that film. Also, starring Ma Dong-seok as Detective Oh, you might remember him from The Royal Tailor. He was also in The Flu, The Unjust, a very underrated actor and a very good actor. We also have Choi Daniel, who plays Kim Jin-gu. He was in The Traffickers, which unfortunately is on my stack of to-watch films, but haven't gotten to it yet, and I don't really know of him from anything else. And Park So-jun, who plays Cha Dong-jae, he's a really young, hot, rising star, you know, in K-pop and in TV shows, and I think he's done some commercials. He's one of these young guys in Korea that right now, that's the thing, you know. There's a big youth movement in Korea, and he's part of it. Tagline for this film, darkness comes full circle. So what is this one about? Well, a police captain who's about to get the career boost he's worked for all his life finds his past come back to haunt him at the worst possible time. So, as I have said many times on the show, I love all Asian films. Really, all different genres from all different countries. But if I had to pick one favorite, put a gun to my head, like Chow Yun-fat, I would have to say right now my favorite is Korean thrillers. And this title somehow slipped by me. But I came across it and I decided to watch it. A Korean thriller I didn't know too much about, but I saw it got very good reviews, and so I was very excited to watch this. And I am really glad that I came across this. It's not the best. Not even in my top 5 Korean thrillers, but it's quite enjoyable. Especially the last 25 minutes or so. The film is a slow build. At one point early on in the film, I actually felt that this maybe wasn't going to be all that good. But it kept getting better. The director took his time revealing details, and with each reveal, he got slightly more interesting until basically I was totally sucked in after about 50 minutes or so. He had me hook, line, and sinker. The acting from Park Seo-joon, who is the young rising star I talked about, was just simply fantastic. I mean, there was good acting pretty much all around, but his performance just knocked it out the park. And I know that Sun Hyun-ju, who plays the lead in this film, was nominated for Best Actor for this, and he was good. But the one thing I had that bothered me about his character in this film was that he was always speaking in a whisper, no matter the situation or the mood. And it was a bit weird for me. But like I said, he wasn't bad in the film at all. It's just something about that talking in a whisper. I guess it was his character. If you guys watch Seinfeld, I guess he was the male version of the low talker. That's really weird. And I had many times, you know, I was thinking to myself, thank goodness it says subtitles, because I wouldn't have a clue what he's saying. But so, like I said, the entire cast, quite good in this film. Acting was really, really well in this film. But of course, nothing's perfect. And what I felt sometimes was that the story was a bit contrived. And at times, the actions from the characters didn't follow the best logic. But I guess that's really what this film is about, not making the smart choices. But everything does kind of make sense in the end, with a few twists coming. Some I saw, and others I did not see coming at all. There's not much in the way of action in this film. This is really more of a psychological thriller, which is something I always enjoy more. I mean, of course, I enjoy the shoot-em-ups with the best of them, but there's something about the psychological thrillers that Korea produces are just really make you think, and I just love them. And the ending of this one was fantastic. Great ending. I was surprised, and I was thrilled. And in this type of film, the payoff is what makes or breaks it. If you don't get a good payoff for that end to these films, you know, these type of films, then it's going to leave you a flat feeling. And that didn't happen here. It was a fantastic ending, which just brings the film up much higher in my eyes. And like I said, it's nothing. No one's perfect, and this wasn't perfect either. There were a few things I thought that could have been done differently, especially early on in the film. One thing that really bothered me is, without giving anything away, is I really thought we should have saw more about the relationship between the captain and his family and Dong Jae, the young cop in the movie. It was implied early on that there was a relationship, but this is a movie sometimes where you need the visuals to really see that, you know, not just some throwaway line in the middle of a conversation. I felt we should have seen some of the fact of they had a connection, the captain and this young man. And his family had a connection with him. And I felt that that's something that we needed to see. And when you watch the film, I think when you get to the end, you'll understand why I say that that kind of felt that it was needed. But overall, I thoroughly enjoyed this film. If you are also a fan of this genre, definitely check this one out. Even if you're not a fan of the genre, if you're just a fan of good movies, definitely check this out. I give this a 7 out of 10. I don't know this. I'm 99% sure that this is not on Hulu or Netflix at this time. I was able to get my hold of a DVD of it. If you need help, if you really want to see this, drop me a message. You drop me a message on my Blogspot or on wherever you're watching this, wherever you're getting this from, drop me a message and I'll try to help you out on how to get a copy of this film. It's definitely worth it. All right, we're going to move on now to our old school selection of the show. And as I just spoke about at the top of the show, this was supposed to be Prodigal Son, but instead it's Pit a Cab Driver. And this is a Hong Kong film, 1989. Directed by, I always say immortal or the legend or something, right? But, I mean, how can you not say this? Sammo Hung Kam Bo. You better know who Sammo Hung is. Of course, he's directed the movies Wheels on Meals, Dragons and Forever, Prodigal Son, which hopefully I will be reviewing very shortly. I've never seen it, which is why I was really excited to see it. Hopefully I will be seeing it soon and we'll maybe review that on our next show. and so many other films he's directed, an action director of many films, Ip Man 2. So, you know, Sammo Hung, who also starred in the film, he plays Fat Tongue. You got Nina Lee Ching, who plays Ping. Nina Lee Ching, you might know her from Twin Dragons or Dragon Fight. And of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, because maybe some of you don't know this, she is the wife of superstar Jet Li. And also starring Max Mok Suchung, who plays Malted Candy. Where would you know Max Mok? Mostly, you would know him from the Once Upon a Time in China series. He was also in The Assassin, not the newer one, the one from, I believe, was 1993. And he was in Fire Dragon, the Wuxia film starring Brigitte Lin. So he's that kind of guy, if you see his face, you're going to be like, oh, him, of course. But I don't know him to be a star in too many films. I thought his biggest role was probably in The Assassin, which was a really good film, which we'll probably review at some time. Tagline for this film, love, hate, life, death, it's all in a day's work. So what's this about? Well, just to put it really simply, it's the story of a band of pedicab drivers who run afoul of a local crime boss. So I went to the old school Kung Fu Festival, as I said, to see Prodigal Son. Unfortunately, there were technical issues, and they showed this instead. But it was not a total disaster, although I really wanted to see Prodigal Son, just because I never saw it before. But this film is a bit different. As a Kung Fu film, Sammo is fantastic. The fight scenes are hard-hitting, a bit sped up, but that's the way it was in the late 80s. If you're familiar, you know, with the genre, the late 80s and Golden Harvest in particular had a lot of that sped up action, from time and again. So that's, that's the way they were made in those days. But still, there is some extremely enjoyable fight scenes and some funny scenes as well. And that's definitely the good about this film. However, I have never been enthralled with this film as many others. I wouldn't say I've had arguments with others, but I've had differences of opinions on many who tout the incredibility, if that's a word, of this film. Like I said, incredible fight scenes? Definitely. Incredible film? I'm not going there with this. The reason is simply the story is just all over the place. The pacing is quite bad as well. It almost feels like when you're home and you're switching your TV between two different movies back and forth. You know, like you're watching an action film and you're watching, a drama or a comedy. You're watching a comedy and an action film. And like between commercials, you're switching back and forth. And while the story isn't hard to understand, mind you, it just doesn't go together. Smoother. Is it a comedy, a love story, an action film, a drama? And yes, you can say, well, why can't it be all those things? And it can if it's done right. This wasn't. The action scenes like I spoke about earlier carry the film, without a doubt. And there is some good comedy. But the acting fluctuates from pretty good for the comedy stuff to pretty poor in the dramatic scenes. And again, I think if this was just a comedy action film, which was really what Sammo kind of does best, I think this would be damn good. But I think Sammo wanted to do more with this story than maybe he should have. And listen, I respect anybody who tries to push envelopes. Okay, and I think Sam was trying to push the envelope here, trying to make this a little more multidimensional, for lack of a better term, than maybe some of his other stuff. And like I said, unfortunately, he's great at doing one type of film, and the parts of this film that are like that are great. The other stuff just doesn't work. It just, really, the whole side love story didn't work. With Malted Candy, a lot of it just, it didn't mesh with me, really. I'm not trying to bash this film. Because if you love martial arts films, this delivers on that front very nicely. I would just prefer to do away with the rest of it. And it was like one of these films where it's like, yeah, can we get another fight scene going, please? Because when there's not a fight scene on the screen, I find myself losing interest. I gave the film a 5.5 out of 10. And if you're a Sambo fan, you're probably yelling at me right now, saying, what the hell's wrong with you? But, again, I'm not bashing it. I definitely think it's something you should see. If you've never seen it, you should see it. And, you know, it's a pretty easy film to enjoy. Like I said, it's just, I have to be honest when I look at a film and when I review a film, especially on films like this, on films that are, kung fu films. Like we talked about Ip Man the other day. Well, maybe a few weeks ago instead of the other day, but I can't only look at a film based on the fight scenes. I know many don't care about the rest of it. Who cares? I've actually had this said to me. Who cares? Did you see those fight scenes? Sammo was great. Yes, he was. If you want me to just review fight scene, then we could have Kung Fu Fight Scene Cinema Fusion or something. But it's not. I'm reviewing films, and I have to review a film on all its levels. And because of that, like I said, I thought this film was a bit disjointed. Not terrible, just didn't really go as smoothly as I would have liked. Okay, let's move on to our wild card selection. And it's the film that I think maybe from episode 1 or 2, I keep mentioning this film. And I kept saying, we're going to review it one day. Well, today is one day. We're going to review the film Bullets Over Summer. Out of Hong Kong, 1999, directed by Wilson Yip. And no, this show, we're not changing the name to the Wilson Yip Review Show. I know he is by far probably, we reviewed more of his stuff than anybody else's. But in case you've missed other episodes, what is he known for? Of course, the Ip Man Trilogy is his biggest claim to fame. Also, SPL, known to some as Killzone. And Flashpoint, which we viewed on the show. And many other films. Wilson Yip, fine director. This is starring Francis Ng as Mike Lai. Where would you know Francis Ng? He was in the first Young and Dangerous film, if you remember that film, Ugly Quan. Was Francis Ng. He was also in the film Full Alert, which we reviewed here. And he was in Infernal Affairs Part 2. Starring also Louis Koo as Brian. Known best for the Troublesome Night series. He's also was in the Overheard trilogy, the election films, which I definitely would like to review, the first election film, and probably do that before I see the third election film, which is going to be released sometime this year. And Drug War, another film I'd really love to review at some point. And maybe most importantly, Helena Law Land, who plays Granny. Also known mostly for the Troublesome Night series. She was in Overheard Part 3. She was in A Simple Life of Andy Lau. Such a tremendous actress. And really, this is almost going to be a review. It's going to be more review of Helena Law Land in the film in some ways. The tagline, I had a lot of hard thoughts trying to figure out a tagline. But I guess in the end, give the tagline, what's most important to you? So, what is this one about? A couple of detectives trying to catch a murderous criminal use an elderly woman's apartment for a stakeout. And that's a very broad generalization of what the film's about. Usually, when I give a film this slot, the wild card slot, it's a film I think is a hidden gem. I'm not sure if this qualifies. This film is uneven. At times, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. It's not very good. But at other times, it's fantastic. The first 20 to 25 minutes is your standard Hong Kong cop film. Nothing special or that remarkable. Then, Helena Law Land's character is introduced. And it takes a completely different turn. In fact, the entire film really turns into a drama. A good one. Then in the last 15 minutes, we go back to that very formulaic action cop film again to kind of tie it up. But the times in between, amazing. The story at times is so touching and even sad. Granny's fight with dementia is so real and heartbreaking. It could bring tears to your eyes. I dealt with family members who went through this, so maybe that's why it struck me a little harder as it might you. But just watching her character brought back so many emotions and so many bad memories from a time many years ago for me. And to me, it's no wonder that she received the award for Best Actress at the Hong Kong Film Awards. Just, I'm telling you, I just found her performance in this film to be engrossing, at times funny, but most importantly was real, so real. Louis Koo, whose character was quite annoying and even a bit disturbingly creepy early on, takes a total U-turn in the second half as well, and I really started to enjoy his character. The action scenes are okay. Our villains are particularly brutal, which makes a scene where Granny unwittingly comes across them so intense. The side stories at first in this film seem forced to me, until we learn that maybe they're not actually the side stories at all. I dare say the whole murderous villain is the side story to this film. This is truly, to me, a very risky take by a young Wilson Yip. It doesn't always work, but it's a young filmmaker looking to push envelopes. And as I said before, when we were talking about, I thought, some of these other films that we talked about today, that directors are trying to push envelopes, like Sammo, I thought, was trying to push envelopes, and I didn't think it really worked. But I respect that. And if this makes any sense, I don't think this is a great film, but yet it's one of my favorite films. I give it a 7 out of 10, based mostly on the middle hour of the film, and the simply flawless performance by Helena Lorland. If you want something different, this could be a good choice for you. This is far enough. I know this is not on Hulu, and it's not. I have an old DVD of it. Again, need the help to try to find it. By looking around and can't find the film, drop me a message. I'll try to help you out. I have an old DVD that I actually would love if this film ever got released on Blu-ray. To my knowledge, it hasn't, but I'm going to research that because this is definitely a film I'd like to have in my Blu-ray collection. But again, the acting of Helena Lorland is just something that is going to stay with you. And it's so good, her acting, that you're going to forget about the first 25 minutes and the last 15 minutes. You're going to. Like, 40 of this, 40 minutes of this film, they're going to be, like, really not bad. I don't want to make it sound like it's bad. I shouldn't say that, because I did say it's not very good. It's just nothing we haven't seen before 100 times. That's what I guess I'm trying to say. Really nothing that we haven't seen so many times before. But what makes this film stand out is that middle part and the story with Granny. And that's our show. As always, I'm going to thank you guys for listening. I know I keep saying I'm going to try to get these shows out at a quicker pace, and I really am. I've already watched the first film for the next podcast, and I'm going to watch another one tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm planning to take off work, and I'm going to sit here and watch some movies. And we'll probably, I think, we're going to be able to see Prodigal Son next week. And once I see that, I should have another 4 movies in the tank for us and to review, and we'll get another show out quickly. But until that time, as always, thanks for listening, and bye-bye.